Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Father, we are just wonderfully blessed by your power and your presence, by your grace and your mercy and your love for us. We just are here today to make much of Jesus. Lord, we do want to just in some form or fashion, we want you to know how blessed we are to be the people of God. And we want to lift up Jesus in such a way that it puts a smile on your face, Father. And when we leave here today, may we all be a little bit closer, have been lifted up a little bit higher as we make much of your Son and our Savior. Thank you for these dear, sweet people, the saints of God, nothing like it. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just make about 3 or 4 minutes of introduction here, so you'll know what's going on today. Unless you're a guest or a visitor with us, you know that January was a month of fasting and praying. Many of you committed to fasting for the first time, and we began to pray together as a church family during the month of January. And you remember that we said that a good definition for fasting was abstaining from food for a season, for a period of time with a spiritual goal in mind. And we learned that fasting really is about desiring the power of God more than the most natural desire that we have for food to eat. And what fasting does is it really gets you on praying ground. And many of you all could say amen to that, that you've been through that this month of January. And you remember we also provided a prayer guide for you to help lead you in your prayer time on a daily basis. We had a threefold spiritual goal set up for you. It was a fabulous time. And many of you have never really experienced what fasting's all about. I think most of you in here pray on a regular basis, but never really been involved in a lot of fasting. But Jesus said, the Bible's crystal clear. Jesus said, when you fast, do it like this. While the bridegroom's away, we're to continue to fast and pray. And so it's been an amazing month for the glory of God. And many of you have experienced revival in your own life, renewal, restoration, repentance. You've enjoyed some cleansing and forgiveness. I've talked to a few of you that have told me God challenged me in different ways this past month. I now have a deeper walk with God. Some of you have even been called to a new place of service, or God's just placed a call on your life to do something that you haven't experienced before. And you remember the little commitment cards that we filled out and made up? Well, one person made a commitment, and still doing it, to fast and pray for 40 days. Now, I don't know if they're fasting like Jesus was. I don't need to know that. That's between them and the Lord. But for 40 days, that person decided, I'm going to fast. And then 7 people decided and declared a 21-day Daniel fast, which was basically fruits, vegetables, and nuts, doing the Daniel fast for 21 days. Had 7 people do that. 3 people declared that they would get on a 7-day fast and doing without food for 7 days. 3 people fasted for 3 days a week. 18 people fasted from food at least 1 day a week for the month. 4 people fasted from 1 meal a week for the month. 1 person fasted from 3 meals a week for the month. 13 people fasted from caffeine, soft drinks, sweets, and desserts. Now, folks, that's a total of 50 people that committed to fast and pray this month. Let's give God praise for that. And so this morning, we are going to experience a praise and prayer service. And let me just kind of acclimate us to what that's going to look like. We're going to be hearing from what God did this month. And we're going to have four different transitions in the service. First, we'll have a season of praise. And praise is not thanksgiving, okay? There's a difference between the two. Praise is giving God glory for who He is. His attributes, just who simply who He is. That's what praise is. And many of you experience the holiness and the righteousness or the faithfulness, one of those attributes of God during this season. And we want to hear you testify. We want to hear a testimony of praise. And then we'll transition next into a season of repentance and forgiveness. And some of you may want to share this morning how God convicted you of something in your life and how you received cleansing. And or some of you may want to share that now you're free from something that's had you in its grips. And you've been in change and you're free from that. Then third, we'll transition into a season of thanksgiving. And that is, of course, thanking God for what He's done, for His works. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? Am I communicating? Y'all tracking with me? All right. And so that may be the time you want to thank God. Maybe He healed some of you all from something in January. Maybe God restored a relationship in your life, and you want to thank God for that. Maybe God did something else during this season of thanksgiving for you, and you want to give Him praise and thanksgiving. And then last, we're going to have a time of intercession, praying for others and praying for revival. And I don't know what all God's going to do this morning, but we've got microphones set up here, right here, okay? And if you can't get up and you want to give testimony, Thomas is right back here and he'll bring you the microphone if you can't get up. But we've got these, and let me say this. These testimonies need to be short and sweet. This is not a time for somebody to get up and preach, okay? This is a time where you all can testify and share. Be short and sweet. Because if everybody wants to get up in here and preach today, guess what? We'll be here till next week. So we want to give everybody time that wants to give a testimony and wants to testify. Just keep it between 1 and 2 minutes. And then we'll transition through every one of these segments in the service, okay? And if you want to testify and you really can't get to one of the microphones, just raise your hand. And Thomas will get you, okay? Are we communicating? Yes. All right. I'm so excited about what God's... I want to hear from you all what God did this month of January and what God's doing in your life. And Ronnie Floyd said it. And maybe he got it from somebody else. But God can do more in one moment than we can do in a lifetime. That's right. And we want to see God really move here today. And so having said that, we're going to enter into a season of prayers. I'm going to read some scripture. And then Marty's going to lead us in a season of our song or hymn of praise. And then we're going to have a time of testimony. Remember, this is praise time. This is our season of prayer. This is, we're transitioning in to praise. And these verses of scripture are so awesome. Somebody in here is going to give a Baptist shout when we read through some of these. So listen to Psalm 89. Are you with me? And some of these verses will be on the board, on the screens behind you and in front of you. Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your what? Faithfulness to all generations. That's an attribute of God, see? For I have said mercy. There's another attribute. Shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David. Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Selah. And I believe that's an old Hebrew word. It's really a musical term, but I believe in today's lingo, if you heard somebody say Selah, there, what do you think about that? I think that's something of what that little word means. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea when its waves rise. You still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you created them. Tabor and Hermon, mountains, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice, two more attributes, are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness they are exalted. Amen. Isn't that good? God's word is so timely. Let's all stand. Father, you are worthy of all our praise this morning. The Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And God, open up our mouths this morning that we might give you praise. Help us lay aside these hindrances and these obstacles that keep us from praising you. We love you, Lord. We're praising you just because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while we're all standing, if you'll just start lining up at these microphones. Now, if this was a political meeting, the lines would already be back to the wall. But this is an opportunity to give God praise. Just a minute or two, maybe God showed you this month how holy He is or how righteous He is or what a just God He is. Or maybe He showed you what a God of faithfulness looks like or some kind of attribute. So now would be the time to share. And somebody's got to break the ice. Who will be first? Here comes Kenda. Remember, we're not praising God during this session for what He's done. We're praising God for who He is. Come on, sister. Y'all can, rest of you can be seated.
As most of you know, in 2018, me and my husband have been through many, many trials, but praise God, He's always been there with us. 2019, I did my first fasting. The next morning, I received an email about an interview for a job. And praise God, I started my job this past week. So
hallelujah.
I want to praise Him for that.
Amen.
And He's always been faithful through it all. Faithful through it all. Thank you.
Faithfulness of Almighty God. Another word from somebody else. The attributes of God. I want to give God praise. Somehow I knew Laura was going to jump in here. All right.
Well, some of you might think this is really trivial, but I decided when I did my fast, I was going to skip the evening meal because that's the hardest for me. And so I started on the Sunday night that Cal had asked us to do that, and sorry, I'm kind of nervous, but anyway, this kind of shows how my heart is, and God wanted to straighten out my heart. After about 5 days, I thought, you know, this has really been hard. I'm going to get on the scales and see if it's done anything for my body. And, you know, 5 days now, going from lunch and having no snacks, no nothing except something to drink until the next day. And so I got on the scales, and the scales had not moved 1 ounce. And so I know it sounds trivial, but I think that was God saying, Laura, who are you doing this for? You or me?
Amen.
And so right when after I stepped off those scales, he just said that to me. And I just thought, God, of course you're right. But, you know, that just tells how God wants to straighten our hearts out and make us look to Him instead of something that's going to do something,
amen,
you know, for us. So anyway, I did finish out that time, and the scale still never moved. But I think God is trying to tell me to be happy with who I am, and just to keep trusting Him, and don't worry about what the world thinks. And that's a real freeing thing. So I just wanted to share that, and I just praise Him for being having tough love.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. The scales may not have moved, but it sounds like heaven did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Someone else want to give God praise for who He is? Yes, ma'am, Beverly.
A lot of you don't know much about me, but I've been widowed for 22 years. I became a widow before I was 40. My husband passed of cancer. I was left with a 10-year-old daughter. I wouldn't be standing here today without God's faithfulness. My daughter is grown. I have two lovely grandchildren. My home is paid for. My health is well enough that I can still go to work when the county lets me. And, you know, God has been so faithful to me. And I just want to praise Him. I praise Him every day. His Word shows new things to me every day.
Yes.
And we're here to worship Him. We're nothing. We're nothing. It's all about Him. And I just want to thank Him.
Amen. Another word of praise to anybody. Praise for who God is.
Okay. I want to pray God for His mercy. I prayed for two men that had cancer. And one of them, God answered as soon as I found out about it. He passed away within hours. The other one was Mike Smith. Mm-hmm. And when we found out he, you know, wasn't going to make it, and, of course, I still prayed for a miracle. But the way that God ended Mike's life here on earth was so merciful.
Amen.
And he didn't have to suffer long, and neither did his family. So I'm just praising God for His mercy.
Praise God. Those attributes that we just read about in Psalm 89, that's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Giving God praise for who He is. God doesn't need to do anything for us to praise Him. I said God doesn't need to do anything for us to praise Him. He's worthy of our praise. He inhabits the praise of His people. And oftentimes in the Scriptures, when you see, when a person understands and realizes that he or she is in the presence of God Almighty, they're immediately aware of His holiness. Immediately. And then that person is immediately aware of his own sinfulness. Listen to what Joel, as we transition into a time of confession and repentance, listen to what Joel 2:12. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. Isn't that a great admonition? Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. You see, when we turn from the most natural desire we have to eat in order to experience His power and His presence, something supernaturally begins to take place. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Who knows if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord. And then verse 15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask you to keep a spiritual journal close by during our season of prayer and fasting. And I just confess to you this morning, I was reading through the days that I was fasting and praying, and I want to tell you, God convicted your pastor and your preacher of several things. And I asked Him to forgive me. And I want to, just before the church, say, I get so busy sometimes and get so laser focused and get my spiritual blinders on that I neglect my family. And the Lord told me this month, I need to be more understanding. Where is my wife? She is not even in here. Praise the Lord. All right. But God convicted me of the way I neglect and don't spend enough time with her and to be her pastor and her husband. And if it wasn't for Diana, I couldn't do what I do. And us guys, we need to, the Bible says our prayers are hindered when we don't do our best to understand our wives. That's out of 1 Peter. You need to read that verse. But
Amen.
So if you don't want your prayers to be hindered, guys, we need to get to a point where we can understand and study our wives and love them like Christ loved the church. And there's a lot of other things. Is that Shay McCrory back there? Oh, my goodness. Boy from Wayne County. All right. But we need to do that. Is anybody else, maybe you got set free this month from something, a sin in your life, or God convicted you of something you needed to turn from? Anybody need to approach a microphone this morning? Something that God's convicted you of or set you free from? Yes, there's a hand right there. Yeah, you do. You need a microphone. Yeah, you do. 1 or 2 minutes. 1 or 2 minutes. Go.
Okay, no, I was just going to say that I was in a state of my life to where I really didn't have to give up food because I got really depressed, and then that took away my food desire anyway, so that wasn't something to give up. But I, in hectic times, started smoking again and feeling so convicted of it that now I've stopped and I put my money Hallelujah. That cigarettes cost Hallelujah. And it's going in my offering. I've Woo, got a collection
praise the Lord.
For
Kathy.
My offering.
Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. Thank you.
Helping me by not being able to breathe either. So that kind of helped.
All right, Scott.
Through the last year, especially you preaching on prayer, it brought me closer to God. I neglected God. You know, we got a personal relationship with the creator of the universe. And as your prayer life gets stronger, and you find out that, you know, it reinforces and lets you know God's not your good luck charm.
Right.
He's not like your lucky pocket knife you pull out. He's creator of the universe, and he's your savior.
Amen.
And he wants to be personal with you. And it's just such a blessing. I just want to thank you for, you know, I want to thank God for putting that on you to pray about. It's helped me so much.
Amen.
And thank you, God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Usually, this time of confession and repentance and, you know, coming clean with one another about things, this is the most quiet time, because none of us like to take our mask off. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, we're a mess. I don't know why we want everybody to think everything's wonderful. We're a mess. But the good news is Jesus came to get in the mess with us. And hallelujah. And I don't know where you are, but if, man, spiritually, whatever it is that you're chained to, whatever it is that you feel like you're... I think about John this morning. Where's John Tobler? Right over here. God can set you free from anything. But you've got to come to God His way through repentance and confession and faith. And if you'll do that, John said, please don't brag on me, Brother Cal. But I want to tell you, he's taking it one day at a time, just like some of you all are. And I am so thankful for what God's doing in our church body right now. He is cleansing us. He is purifying us. He's getting us ready to do something that only He can do. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to transition. Get her a microphone. Get her a microphone. No, no, you need a microphone, Trish. There you go.
Most of the time I've been told I don't need a microphone. I just want to say I can't sit and quench the spirit. But God has been steadfast and immovable. In this month, our Bible study was on brokenness. Boy, I'll take you down. But it was mostly on pride. So when we all started, we were like, okay, we're going to study the subject of pride. Well, there were 35 points of pride. And boy, did he really open up the floodgates of showing us all our hearts. Just a real big time of revival, even in my own heart. But 35 points that I'd really never seen in my life. So I'm just grateful for the continual brokenness that he brings in my life as I continue to surrender to him. So give God praise. Give Amen. Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. He is so worthy, Amen. So faithful all the time.
Amen. Trish has a Bible study in her home, and she'd love for any of you that want to come to come. If God's finished here with public confession and that kind of thing, we'll move into a season of thanksgiving. All right. Psalm 107. Listen to this. Psalm 107, 31 and 32. Oh, that men, and you could say, and women. He's talking about all of us there. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the company of the elders. And this is going to be a time of giving God thanks, a time of thanksgiving. And maybe God touched you this month, healed a relationship. Maybe he saved someone you were praying for. Or maybe God called you to something new, placed a challenge on you. And God gave me these verses out of Isaiah 54 to thank him. He says, Isaiah 54, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. For you have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Now listen to this. "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." Somebody's here today, and God's called you to a fresh work, to a new ministry. He's challenged you with something, and you need to give him thanks today for that. Or maybe God has done something else during these last 30 days, and you just need to give him thanks for that. Now's a season of testimony of thanksgiving for something God has done, one of his marvelous works. Somebody want to give God thanks for what he's done?
Faithfulness and mercy of God. Every one of us. If you don't know God, but I'm so thankful that God came into my heart and my life and convicted me of my sin back in 1979. I can't tell you the joy of His Word, the faithfulness of God, even when I'm unfaithful, and the love that He placed in my heart of His Word, and the season I went through where I could hardly even open up my Bible, and I'd say, God, please give me that joy, my salvation back. Yeah. And the joy of Your Word, but I just could hardly open up my Bible just because I just couldn't do it. And then finally, God just got a hold of me and said, Lee, I love you. And I'm reminded of the verse that says that He will complete that work that He started unto that and keep it unto that day.
Amen.
That word stands strong and true to me. And as I see the world and where it's going and His truth is all here, and I'm thinking, man, if you're not studying His Word and not knowing the signs of His coming, they're everywhere. The world is our herald of His coming back.
Amen.
And this, the truth of His Word is there. It's right before our eyes. And if you're not reading it, you need to read it. Because He speaks through His Word still to this day, and He is faithful, He's true. And I have to give testimony to that.
Amen.
Because I love Him, and I thank Him for loving me, and He is faithful.
We love you, Lee. God bless you. Some of you are sitting here, and God's done something amazing for you, and you're not going to share that with the family of God? Come on now. Come on. Glenn, you got 1 minute.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I know I could be like my brother Kevin and take too much.
Yes.
Some of you know that I'm a retired elementary school teacher. After 30 years of teaching in this county, I said, okay, God, now I'm free. What do you want me to do? Cal already knows this. And I started going. I was asked to go to a young men's Bible study group, ages 18 to 30. I said, I'm too old for that. Pot-bellied, bald-headed. They won't care, these young whippersnappers. Well, out of that, I developed a relationship with a bunch of these guys. There's about 25 of them. And they started coming to me. And they said, will you pray for me? Will you spend time with me? Will you disciple me and teach me how to pray? Will you teach me how to have a quiet time? So I started getting with them once a week individually for 3 hours. And we'd sit down and I'd say, what do you need prayer for? And you would have the popular, typical thing. I'm bound with an addiction. I'd say, okay, God's big enough to take care of it. What is it? Pornography. This is a major issue in this nation, especially among young men and even Christian young men. And they had various other addictions. And I said, God's big enough to take care of that. And so I walked them through deliverance. They got set free. And today they go around testifying, Jesus has set me free. And that is a miracle of God.
And how old are these people, these guys?
Okay, one is 20. He's going to Austin P. Works at Dillard's. One is 26. He works for the state as an auditor. And one is 25.
Amen.
And he's an entrepreneur.
Praise
and
God.
Each one of them have their own unique piece of the puzzle. And I tell them every time I get with them, you are called to greatness. You're called to be a general in God's army. If you will believe for it and if you will work toward that end. And God says to some young men in this room, you are called to greatness, and you're called to be a general in God's army, not just a sergeant, a lieutenant. You're called to do mighty exploits in the name of Jesus and walk with God with an adventuresome, daredevil spirit of faith.
Amen.
So I encourage you, be open to God, you older ones. God's looking for spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers that will lay down their life for individual young people in this younger generation, because we're called to pass the baton of the fire and the passion of God to the next generation.
Thank you, my brother. Coach Gregory.
I thank you for the healing power of God. You know, I shouldn't be here. In reality, last year I went to my own college and he said, you know, you're a miracle. Because in May of 91, I came down with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Between that time and July 17th of 96, I had chemo 51 times a vein. Most of all, I thank you for my family and Barbara and our grandkids and my children. But, you know, she several years got to do this, and I've kind of stole it away from her. It's taken Carter to school now. She took Miles and Carter for a long time. And one of the special times of my day is him reading the devotional, and we're praying every day. And we prayed for Mike Smith every day since he'd been sick. And When I told Carter and picked him up Friday that Micah died, I could see how it hurt him. So it's important to pray for people. I pray for Brother Cal. I think we don't realize the power of prayer. So many times we don't use the power of prayer. That's a direct line of communication between us and God. And I thank you that God gave us that right to have that direct communication.
Hallelujah. Amen. Other, you want to thank God for something this morning? Maybe God did something for you this month. Come on, Miss Betty. By the way, yesterday was her birthday. We thank God for you, Betty.
I just want to thank God for the provision that He has provided down here. When we started Second Mile, the one thing that really burdened me or bothered me was we didn't have any babies down here. And over the past month, 2 months, we're full back here. And that means that's another generation coming. And I thank God for the young people that are bringing their babies.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm grateful for middle schoolers. And I had somebody in my life who taught me to love middle schoolers. Her name was Cookie Prine. A lot of y'all knew her. She taught middle school forever. And I remember, Cal, at your house, one of the very first times we were playing, and we had this unbelievable children's group. The children's leaders, I would put bar none in anywhere in all of Clarksville. Had a fabulous adult Sunday school teacher. And I looked at my sweet little nephew, Isaac, who's in middle school, and I'm like, okay, we got to have some middle school teachers. And so I asked Scott and Melinda Denny to help me, and they have been awesome. But I know there's two, but I have 9 middle school girls now. So I am so thankful for Brooke and Bethany Edwards, for Cadence and Callie Parker, for Gracie and Anna Holt, for Anna Grace, and for Cammy. I think that's all of them, but they have been a blessing in my life. And for those of you who entrust them to me for an hour to teach them God's Word, and, we don't do anything but just read the Bible. That's all we do, and we just study God's Word, and they are absolutely precious, and I'm grateful that there's another generation
Amen.
That's being raised up to love Jesus, so thank you.
I think Isaac had told me, he said, Dad, it's just me and one other boy in the middle school. And I said, is that a bad thing? He said, well, I'm surrounded by girls. And I said, well, probably sooner than later, that's going to be a good thing for you. But those of you that have middle school boys, bring them. We'll take them. Scott does a great job back there with them. Anybody else need to give thanks to the Lord for something He's done?
I've gone through my entire life thinking I've had the world figured out, thinking I was smarter than everybody else, and I kind of knew how life went. And God's always been close. I haven't been as close with Him as He was with me. And a couple months ago, well, a little over a month ago, God called me to Him. He brought things in my life that brought me to my knees, and I started to figure out that there was more than what I knew. I'd always believed in God. I hadn't always accepted Jesus, and God brought Billy into my life several years ago and kept him close to me. We coached together. He ended up not coaching anymore. It's been about 8 years, but we've remained friends, and in my time of need, God brought Billy to me and helped me understand the world and understand my passion and understand Jesus. And I can tell you right now, my life is still a little bit not where I want it to be. But my guilt, my heart is free, and I am forever grateful that God saw enough in me to bring me close to His heart.
Well, hallelujah. Wonderful. Woo! God has saved his soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. If there's nothing else, don't you dare walk up to me after this service and say, "Brother Cal, I should have shared." Now's the time. Right now. Okay. Need a mic over here. Marianne's in the middle of the crowd over there. She needs that mic. And this sister has been suffering for Jesus down on the beach all week, and she's with us.
Well, I just want to say that I never thought I would ever be thankful for trials and suffering. But it taught me that I'm not in control of my life.
All right.
And it taught me that I need to give it to God. And I'm still, there's days that I waver on that, but I know that God's in control of my life and my family's, and He's answered so many prayers, and it's made me realize that I'm not in control, and He is, and it's brought me much, much closer to Him, the things that I've gone through, and I'm thankful for those. I'm real thankful for those. Never thought I'd say I'm thankful for trials, but I am.
Amen. It's through the tough times of life that God can really move in our lives and teach us and train us and mold us and make us. We want to finish our time in some intercession. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground." That means hard ground. "For it is time to seek the Lord till He comes," like Brother Lee was talking about, "till He comes and rains righteousness on you." And I picked out a couple of other verses to read during this time. And Psalm, I believe it is, yes, Psalm 33:12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen for His own inheritance." And Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." We're going to have a time of interceding, praying for others, but also praying for revival. That's what Clarksville needs. That's what the church in Clarksville needs. The city needs a spiritual awakening. But that isn't going to happen until the church gets revived. And so we're going to spend some time praying together in just a moment. But what I want us to do right now is kind of get in circles or long cubes. Each row in front of you could turn around and just join hands. And of 10, 12, 15 people in a group, and like this second row here can turn around and face the group behind them, and then everybody grab hands. And I'll guarantee you, if there's 10, 12, 15 people in that group, in your group, somebody in that group will pray. Okay? Not asking anybody to pray out loud, not asking anybody to do that, but there'll be somebody in the group. And what we want to do is intercede and pray for others, and pray for revival. Am I making sense? So let's just quickly get into prayer groups. We've got about 10 minutes here, and let's do that. Just turn around and grab hands. That's right. That's right. Father, we thank You for this season of intercession. Many prayers for the saints have gone up, and we're supposed to pray for one another. And some have, the prayers that You've heard, You've already said yes. And some of the prayers that have gone up and You've said no because You've got something better. And then others have gone up and You just simply said wait. Wait on the Lord. And we give You praise and glory and thanksgiving and blessing and honor for this season of prayer. How good You've been, Father. And Lord, would You send revival to the church in Montgomery County? Oh, God, we need you. As Marty was playing, oh, God, we need you. Every hour, we need you. Every millisecond, we need you. We are a mess without you. But Lord, with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, we thank you and give you praise. Amen. Please be seated. All right. Now see here, y'all have made it through a praise and prayer service. And it didn't kill you. Right? This is the type of thing we do on Wednesday night. This is the type of thing we do on Wednesday night. Love for y'all to come and join us. Prayer is going to be the vehicle that gets us where we need to go, church family. It's going to be the vehicle that gets us where we need to go.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.